We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
Today we're going to talk about tips and certain pieces of technology, certain tools that can help you in preventing bullying in your school. Today you're going to hear from myself, and I'm supported by Maya Clearidge, who is a singer-songwriter and No Bully advocate. And we're also going to hear from Nicholas Carlisle, who is the CEO for No Bully. So our agenda for today, we're going to start by talking about some of the numbers with regard to bullying. Then again, we're going to hear from Maya and her story from bullied to bold. Nicholas will talk about how to bully-proof your school. And then my piece will be on using technology to prevent bullying inside of your organizations. And then, as I said, we will close with the Q&A section. All right. So students often state that fear of attack due to bullying or intimidation from bullying is something that prohibits them or stops them from wanting to attend school. And here's some numbers for you. Annually, there's a $21,000 loss of funding due to school attendance based around bullying. 22% of high school students note that bullying has caused some form of suicide ideation at some point in time. 75% of school shootings are linked to harassment with bullying. And settlements, bullying lawsuit settlements are, as the numbers state, anywhere from $25,000 to $3 million. And often what they cite is negligence in training staff. We're not educating, we're not talking to our students and our educators about what's important and how they need to confront this issue. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Maya Clearidge to come on board. Maya is a student and an actress, singer, songwriter. Her platform is the Bullied to Bold platform, and it's a nationwide anti-hate and anti-bullying tour wherein Maya actually travels to schools and shares her story. And I'm excited to bring her on the board now. Maya, it's on you.
Hi, thank you so much. Hey guys, so my name is Maya Clearidge, and just like he said, I have a tour called Bullied to Bold where I go around and I speak in classrooms and in schools about my experience with bullying. Right now I have a video that I want to show that kind of goes along with everything I'm going to talk about today and everything I talk about on the tour. So if we want to pull that up.
My name is Maya Clearidge, and I was bullied. Some days I would try to face it, and some days I would just hide. He said things to me that, looking back on it now, didn't even make any sense. But when somebody says these things to you over and over every single day, you start to believe them.
She's worthless.
I hated myself.
Just do us a favor and kill herself already.
These words become you, and they make you believe things about yourself that aren't true.
All that junk food she's eating, totally showing up on her waist.
I just wanted to be someone different. And if I couldn't do that, then I just wanted to be gone. I never really knew why they were treating me like this. I never understood what I had done to them. Then I just thought, I just must be too ugly, I must be too fat, I must be too much of a loser, I must be too disgusting to even be alive. So maybe I shouldn't be. Sometimes I would just stare in the mirror and think to myself, if only I wasn't so fat.
She's bloated like a whale.
If only I wasn't so ugly.
What a loser.
If only I could be someone else.
She'll never be anything.
If only I wasn't me. If I wasn't me. I just wanted it all to go away.
She'd be better off dead. What makes her think she can share these hallways with us? What a waste of space.
I can't even believe she thinks that she can just dress like that and think no one will ever make fun of her.
Tell her to kill herself. She'd be better off without her anyway.
I put down the fear.
So, the first thing I want to do before I get into my story is take a quick poll for you guys to answer. The question is, have you ever been involved in your lifetime as a bully, target, bullet, or bystander? Go ahead and answer that. Oh, wow. Lots of people are already chiming in. Okay. Thank you guys for your input. That's really helpful. I'm sorry that so many of you have experienced this. That just goes to show that it's everywhere. Wow. Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Okay, so let's move on to my story now. I just want to tell you a little bit of what I tell the kids on the tour. Basically, how it all started was I was in fifth grade, and it lasted until about the middle of seventh grade. So that's 2.5 years. It's a long time. And it was me and this group of three other girls. We were just a normal group of friends. We hung out. We had lunch together. We had sleepovers on the weekends. We were just a normal group of friends until one day I was on my way to lunch, and every day at lunch we sat in the exact same spot together. And so I had my little lunchbox, and I was running over to the table, and I sat down where we always sat. And once I got there, they got up and moved to a different table. And I was confused. I was like, okay, I guess we're moving. So I got up and I went to the table that they were now sitting at. And when I got there, they said, "No, Maya, this is our table. You can't sit with us." And again, I was confused. I didn't really understand if they were joking, but all I knew was that I had nowhere to sit, and they were my only friends. So I ate my lunch in the bathroom. And then the day after that, I ate my lunch in the bathroom, and then the week after that, and the month after that. And I found myself trying to text them and call them, trying to figure out what I had done to them to make them hate me or stop talking to me. But I got no response. So then my life kind of became this thing I called the yo-yo cycle. You know, yo-yos go up and down and up and down. That's how you play with the yo-yo. What would happen was, you know, I'd be in the group and then they'd shove me out of the group again, and then in the group and out of the group. But I could never really tell if they were my real friends, if they actually wanted to talk to me, if they actually wanted to hang out with me. I remember one time we went to the mall for one of the girls' birthday parties when I was in the group. And we were going to play this game where we were going to buy something for each girl in the group and give it to each other at the end of the game. And I was excited because I had been friends with them for a while and I knew what each of them liked, and I was going to get something special for each of them. And I did. And at the end of the game, we all came back together and we were going to swap gifts. And everyone had gotten something for each other, but no one had gotten anything for me. And I just had to stand there pretending like I was okay with that. But really, I just kept thinking, am I just a joke to them? Is the only reason they hang out with me to laugh at me? Am I the clown, the court jester? And I started to question, you know, who I was and why people wanted to be friends with me, talk to me, look at me. And then it started to get worse. They started to spread rumors about me, lies about me. You know, people started to believe them. I would, you know, get things thrown at me in the hallway, or people would call me names, even to my face, to the point where I started to sink into this black hole. It's really dark and lonely, and I didn't know what to do. And the thing is, when people start calling you, you know, fat or ugly or stupid or a loser every single day, when you look in the mirror, you start to see a fat, ugly, stupid loser. And so not only did I start questioning why people wanted to talk to me, I started questioning who I was, what I looked like, what I thought about myself. And I got to the point where I really hated who I was because of everything they were saying to me. What I want to talk about now is cyberbullying. And I feel like, you know, we all know what cyberbullying is, and it has a lot to do with why we're here today. But the thing that people usually don't address about cyberbullying is how it affected me and how it affects so many other kids. When I went to school, I knew that I was going to have to deal with people calling me names and throwing things at me and spreading rumors about me. It sucked, but I knew that. That was school for me now. But I thought that when I went home, I would have, you know, at least a couple hours of just freedom, getting away from all of that. But with cyberbullying and all the technology and abilities we have today, even though it's great, there are cons that come with that. And part of that is, you know, when I was sitting there doing my homework or brushing my teeth or eating dinner, horrible texts would come up on my phone, like, "You're so ugly, go kill yourself," or terrible comments under my Instagram posts or Facebook posts. To the point where I already felt like I wanted to hide at school, but now I actually had to hide when I was by myself, when I was at home. There was nowhere to hide, and I just wanted to be invisible. So then I got to the point where, after 2.5 years of this, I couldn't take it anymore. I was hanging by my last thread. This is what I call the breaking point on the tour. And I remember the exact moment I hit my breaking point. I was standing in the hallway by my locker, and two of the girls came walking down the hallway, and I was like, oh God, please don't talk to me, please don't talk to me. And I just shoved my face in my locker, and they walked past me, and I was like, thank God. And then one of them turned around and said, Maya, why are you even here? If you think about that question, it's kind of an odd question, right? I mean, like, if someone asked you, why are you even here? You'd be like, I'm here because I go to school, duh. But because of everything they had said to me before that, because of everything they had done to me leading up to that, because of going through this constant harassment for 2.5 years, that one question, Maya, why are you even here, made me decide that I didn't want to be here anymore. I couldn't take it anymore. Obviously, I am still here, and I'm happy, and I'm strong now because of what I went through. And I am still here because of the 3 steps I went through to overcome this situation. It was a long, hard healing process, but I did it. And if any one of you guys are going through a situation like that, I promise you can do it too. The 3 steps I talk about on the tour to overcoming a situation like this. The first step is putting down your fear. When you're going through this, you're so afraid to tell anyone, to say anything. Because, you know, for me, I thought no one would believe me. Things could get worse. I don't know how they could get worse, but I thought they were going to. So put down your fear and tell someone, no matter who it is, anyone you trust, even if they've never been bullied before in their life, they'll understand. The second step is called building a support system. The support system is whoever it is you tell. That's your support. Doesn't make the bullying go away, but it makes you stronger. Then the third step is called putting down the blame and the shame you put on yourself. When I was in that dark hole I talked about, I hated who I was because I thought everyone else hated who I was, which isn't true. So I started to blame myself. I started to say, well, maybe if I wasn't so fat, or maybe if I wasn't so ugly or disgusting, people wouldn't be bullying me. And that's not true. So put down all that blame you put on yourself. If you guys want more information on how to overcome the situation and more information and in depth about my story, you can download my book on ebook, or you can order a print copy on Amazon. It's called Put It Down, Going From Bully to Bold, and it just really explains a lot of the stuff that I talked about in this short amount of time and a lot of the stuff that I talk about on the tour. And it also has links to all my social media in there and my single called Put It Down on iTunes. Thank you guys so much for listening to me today. I want to give it back to Alex for him to take it away.
Maya, thank you so much for sharing your story. We're going to hear from Maya again at the end of the session, just to remind you. So if you have questions for Maya, please put those in the chat box. We are capturing all of those, and we'll answer as many as we can at the end. Next up, we're going to hear from Nicholas Carlisle, who's the founder and CEO of No Bully. And I'm going to quickly turn the microphone over to him and allow him to explain a lot of the work that he's done within schools to prevent bullying. Take it away, Nicholas.
Thanks so much, Alex, and great to meet you all. And thank you so much, Maya, for your courage in actually telling your story. It takes guts to share with the world what you went through. And thank you to everyone who's been making comments in the chat box. It's clear that so many of you want to see bullying taken out of the shadows. So I was bullied too at school, which is why I started No Bully. And we started as a nonprofit in 2009, and we've now been in close to 300 schools across the states. What I wanted to share with you today was 4 steps you can take to bullyproof your school, which we found from our years of working in schools. But before we go there, I have a poll question for you, which I wanted to ask you. So I don't know if we're able to pull up the poll and let you have a go at answering this question. I'm not quite sure how that works, but I think someone is going to pull up a poll in just a moment. Here we go. So what do you think? What's the number one predictor of a child's success in their adult life? And I'm talking about all domains, their adult life in relationship, in their workplace, in their marriages. What do you think is going to be the best predictor of their success? Well, let's just stop the voting here, and I'm going to tell the answer. The answer is a child's ability to make and sustain friends. And oftentimes when I say that, people say, well, my kid's only got one friend. And I'm saying, that's okay. You don't have to win the popularity contest. But if you think about it, the child's ability to make and sustain friends includes their ability to manage their emotions, to reach out to other people, to read social cues. And it points to the importance of belonging. And the problem with bullying is that it puts down kids from the pecking order or pushes them out entirely. And if that's the case, they're denied belonging. So as we look at bullying and we talk about bullying, really at a deeper level, what we're trying to do is to create schools where every kid can belong. Here are the stats on bullying across the United States. This is from a survey done by the World Health Organization. And what they found was that roughly 20 to 30% of adolescents are the target of bullying. It's not much better if you're a younger kid. It's not much better if you're in the final years of high school, but the range seems to be between 20 and 30%. So that's a significant number. And what it does not uncover is the tone or quality that bullying takes. So if you look at those numbers and you start to unpack them, what you see is that kids again and again get targeted because of their differences. So often it's the kids who are different because of their race or different because of their sexual orientation. And sadly, in the last couple of years, we've seen a huge rise in hate-based speech in schools, attacking students because of their Muslim heritage or because of their Latino heritage. And there's a huge amount of shame and pain in being targeted because of a core characteristic. And sadly, that's where so often kids start to think that they can't change these things about them, so that they have to start thinking about taking their own lives. So let's talk about how you can create a bully-free school. What I wanted to start to talk about was first off, how do you prevent bullying in the first place? So we've been into over 200 schools now across the United States. And what we found is that the best protection against bullying is to build an inclusive school culture, to build a school where everyone belongs. That's the best protection because bullying is so often about differences. And this thing called culture is a little bit hard to get one's head around because you can't see it. But actually, it's as real and important as the walls of your school and the roof of your school. And it refers to the invisible web of relationships between students and students to teachers and teachers to parents and parents to the administration in your school. That's what defines your culture. And in schools which have bullying to any degree, they have a culture that is not unified. They have a culture where students don't feel like they belong, where there are often splits and schisms and cliques in the school. And that is starting to lead to an unsafe culture for the students in your school. So the question then is, well, how do you actually turn around your culture? How do you create a school where everyone belongs? What we found is that visionary schools do three things, and I want to share those with you. So the first thing that schools do is to define their North Star, where they're headed towards. We call that their social vision. And they need to be able to say, and they do say in 7 words or less, what their school culture stands for. And the sorts of answers that we hear back when we push schools on this and they go through this process of examining what do we stand for, what is our culture about, are things, simple things like we are an oasis of peace. We're a school where friendship matters. We are truly a community where everyone belongs. Again and again, schools come up with those sorts of answers. And when you hear that answer for your school, when you go through that process, your answer is often going to be, well, of course, because it defines so clearly what you've been striving for all these years, but maybe you've never clearly articulated it. So you might be asking, what's the point of this? Is this just going to be another dusty statement that we put up on the walls? And the answer is no. This is a statement that you use again and again. You use it when you interrupt students because they are being aggressive to each other. As a student, it's a phrase that you'll use with your parents when you bring them in and you talk to them about how you want them to be coming in line and supporting how you do things at the school. You can use this in your teacher-faculty meetings, at your back-to-school nights. It's that important. You have to be again and again advocating for the sort of culture that you want. If you can do that, you start to pull everything up in your school and starts to move things in a direction that you've always wanted. So number one is creating a clear social vision statement. You also, number two, need to have within this section here, you need to have an anti-bullying policy that defines first off your school vision, but then the sorts of behaviors that get in the way of your school vision. And primarily here, we're talking about bullying and bullying behaviors. So, I just jumped a slide here. Let's get back to the culture slide. So the second part in this area is you need to have an anti-bullying policy that defines exactly what bullying is and how everyone interrupts it. And I'm going to talk a little bit in a moment about the wonderful tools that Crisis Go is providing you with, because that needs to be part of how you interrupt it and how you give students a chance to report bullying and get help. And the third thing you need to be looking at in this area, this first box, is you need to be thinking, as some of you are saying in the comments here, around social and emotional learning. So some of you mentioned second step I saw in the text, the chat box. That's exactly right. You need some sort of a curriculum that will train students in the skills so that they don't treat each other with aggression and disrespect, but instead treat each other with social and emotional intelligence. So that's the first point, and I can't stress too highly the importance and value of your culture. If you can do that, a lot of the problems that you're seeing at your school today will fall by the wayside. But you're still likely, even investing in a strong climate, to have behaviors that are about disrespect and aggression. Students bring these with them to school and they play them out as they find their identity at school. So you need to be creating a funnel that catches those students. And the first part of the funnel is you, the teachers and the principals who and the superintendents who are on this webinar today. You need to be able to interrupt bullying. But you need to be modeling how to do that firmly and kindly as you do it. Otherwise, you're just replacing bullying with more aggression from your end. You need to be the eyes of the school. You need to be watching for the kids who seem to be targeted. And if they seem to be going on, you need to be willing to check in with them and say, hey, I saw what was happening in the yard today. You find a private moment with them. And I'm sorry that was happening for you. And at our school, everyone belongs. You repeat your vision statement, whatever it is. And I want to make sure we get you the help so that you don't have to put up with this level of disrespect or aggression or, as Maya suffered, isolation. And then you need to be getting them, if it is ongoing bullying, you need to be getting the help that they need. You need to be letting whoever you designate in the school know that you have a situation on your hands. So that could be your principal, or it could be one of the teachers trained as a bullying response expert in your schools. And finally, you need to check in with students who seem to be the target of ongoing bullying, and if necessary, refer them to a mental health counselor or get them the help that they need. So that's point two. So let's say you do have a bullying situation on your hands. What do you do about it? What we found is that if your school uses old-style methods of punishment and consequences and suspension to deal with bullying, you tend to drive bullying underground. Even if you use the sort of reporting tools that Crisis Go is giving you, You're unlikely to get students coming forward and saying, I want help. And the point of reporting ultimately is to get kids help. It's not about getting them into trouble. If you think about it, the point of reporting is to solve the situation. So you want kids coming forward. I was a special witness in a bullying case in Southern California that sadly resulted in suicide. It was a high school. And the student at this high school had been filmed in a very humiliating way, and that was posted online. And that student sadly took his own life. When the school was pressed in this in cross-examination, they proudly said that they were a school with almost zero reported cases of bullying. That was their defense. So we went in and we analyzed the student surveys from those years to ask how many kids were experiencing bullying, and in this case, cyberbullying. 21% of the students in that school said that they experienced cyberbullying. So you have 21% of students being bullied and roughly 1% of students reporting being bullying. That is a major breakdown in trust. That school was failing those students. That school didn't have any respectable reporting mechanism. You're going to get that with the Crisis Go tool. But coupled with that, you need to think through how you will respond. Because if you respond simply with a threat of punishment, you're going to drive bullying underground. Students are not going to use that reporting tool. So that brings me to the third slide here, which is doing an intervention that really turns the bullying around. So there's a growing consensus in the bullying field that you cannot use punitive measures in this situation. Sure, if the school rules have been broken and someone brings a knife to school, you have to follow the school rules. But in many situations, you do not have that level of extremity. So what we found at No Bully is we developed a system that calls upon the empathy of students to solve bullying. And here's how we do it. When a kid is being targeted, we bring together the bully and the bully followers and three or four positive leaders in that particular peer group. And the student, Denzel, whoever it is not in the room, the student who's being targeted. And we say to them, listen, you're the solution team. You're the power to really solve a situation. Denzel is not here today, but he is really suffering. And then you walk them into Denzel's shoes. But Denzel, Sunday night is the worst night of the week for him. When he comes back to school on a Monday morning, he has repeated comments about your mama this, your mama that. Repeated comments that put him and his family down. He is so angry and isolated and suffering on the inside. He's got to the point now where, frankly, he doesn't want to be at school. Some days he doesn't even really want to be alive. So you can see by this intervention that we're walking the students into the shoes of Denzel. And once you see that this is landing, you say to those students, you've all had days like this. You know what it's like to be on the outside, and you know what it's like to be targeted. And here's the question for you, the solution team of students. What can you do, or what can you stop doing to solve this situation? The incredible thing about the students that are at your schools, and we know this for a fact, is that 98% of your students do have empathy. 98% of your students do not like to see bullying. They have a huge sense of fairness. So if you take punishment out of the equation, but instead focus on the solution, and you appeal to their empathy, they will step up to the plate. And that's what we found in thousands of reported cases of bullying across the country, where educators like you have used solution teams to turn those situations around. Educators trained in solution team are solving 90% of cases of bullying. So that is a powerful intervention that you can use. You also need, when you turn bullying situations around, to follow up with the bully and the target. If they're stuck in the role of bully, which some kids often are, and sometimes it's through missing social and emotional skills, sometimes it's frankly through what they've had to endure at home. And you may need to follow up the target also if they're stuck in the role of victim. again, because they may be missing social emotional skills or because of what that's happening at home, you need to do the intervention and the follow-up. And there's one more thing that sometimes you need to do. If you look at this funnel of bullying, prevention, response, the fourth and final step is to address what lawyers would call a hostile environment. And if those of you who do Title IX work, you'll know what I'm meaning there. But what I'm talking about there, you have a toxic grade, a toxic class where there's so much racism or sexual harassment going on, as we had in one middle school, that you can do the intervention like Solution Team, but you cannot simply send that kid back because their classroom culture is too entrenched in ways that are too toxic. So you need to do an intensive piece of work with their grade or their class. And that might be pulling together all the teachers who work with that grade, we've done that, and brainstorming with them. It might be doing an intensive piece of curriculum with them. You might pull down something from the Southern Poverty Law Center around teaching tolerance. You might be doing a piece of work around sexual harassment and pull down a curriculum like flirting or hurting. You need to do a focused piece of work with that grade to turn it around. So those are the four steps that we see as every school really needing to do to integrate and institutionalize an inclusive culture that takes bullying seriously and has institutionalized the steps for resolving incidents when they happen. So here you have on these slides all four steps together. And what we found is that schools that do this, it takes 2 to 3 years to really shift your culture. But if you stay with this, you get to the point, as we heard from a school recently, where a kid said to another kid in the yard at recess, "Hey, we don't do that here. We're a no-bully school." And that's when you know that you've changed the culture to the point where your students will not tolerate bullying. And that's the point that you need to get there, get to. So one of the most painful things to me around bullying is how it goes underground. And this very painful TV series, 13 Reasons Why, which is highly controversial, does sadly show the way that bullying goes underground and a way that kids can reach a place where they feel like they can't reach out to an adult. And we want to make sure that kids are comfortable in reaching out to adults. So that's why we have partnered with Crisis Go, because we believe that with the help of Crisis Go, that's the bridge that will give your school, through their web-based app and through the individual apps that teachers may be using, the mechanisms for getting kids to the help that they need. And you need to couple that also with systemic change in your schools around bullying. So think through as a school how you're going to make it easy for those students to get help. So you need to have this funnel going through, this flowchart of who they reach out to. You need to make it easy and give students choices. So it might be an anonymous reporting box coupled with the Crisis Go link on your website. You need to make it as easy as possible for kids to get help. Your anti-bullying policy needs to say very clearly both what bullying is and what everyone's responsibility is when bullying happens, so that a teacher knows, oh, I do have to intervene, and parents know, right, I get it, I should be talking to the classroom teacher. I don't take it first to the school principal. And then the classroom teacher knows, I need to tell the school principal and I have 24 hours to do it. All of that needs to be spelled out. And then finally, you need to be training your school community how to get up to speed and follow your policy. So I'm finished with my section here. We've made time at the end for questions. Our mission is to help schools like yours implement a system to prevent and respond effectively to bullying. If you want help, do reach out to us. There's nothing that gives us more joy than to create schools and support schools in becoming bully-free. Thank you.
Nicholas, thank you so much. I know I speak for all of us here at Crisis Go, and I say that we're excited to continue learning from you and your expertise on bullying. First up, just as the last two episodes, we're going to start with a poll. Edwin, would you pull that up? Thank you so much. All right, so question number three is, do you currently have a system in place at your school to anonymously report and respond to incidents of bullying? Looks like some have a system, some do not, or kind of a 50-50 split, it looks like. And certainly some interest in using a tech system. Very good. Very good. Wonderful. We're going to talk about that today. As I said, Nicholas, thank you so much for your portion. I'm looking forward to the Q&A section with everybody at the end. And Maya, thank you so much for sharing your powerful story with us. While Maya's story is unique, unfortunately, a lot of what she experienced is not uncommon for students in our schools. An estimated 1 out of 5 students admit to being bullied or bullying within our schools. As leaders in education, those of you in attendance today, experts in bully prevention, those of you with No Bully, and our organization, Crisis Go, and the work that we do on safety technology, each of us have a role to play in how we help students combat this issue. In order for schools to have a powerful strategy against bullying, they must provide 2 critical components, and the first of which, Nicholas touched on some of this, is education. So what is bullying? Why do people bully? What should we do when we see bullying? How do we provide resources that connect with those that are being bullied, as well as those that are doing the bullying? Both of those groups need resources. They need to understand how things are working. So as Nicholas outlined, we must inform students and educators on the issue. We must provide information and resources that speak directly to them emotionally and empower them. And we must unite all organization members to confront this issue, including those that are participating in the bullying. And through understanding and awareness, we help people recognize this behavior, and then we empower them to speak up for themselves and or others. So that's number one, education. The second piece that is critical is communication. As Maya noted in her story, her situation left her feeling helpless. She feared telling others, thinking that they would not believe her. She didn't have any scars or bruises to display. It was psychological, emotional pain that she was suffering from. And she also feared that the bullying would get worse if she said so. I saw somebody in the comments mention, you know, fear of being a tattletale or a teacher's pet. These are all common things. So in essence, Maya lacked an appropriate means to communicate her troubles to individuals that could help her. But Maya was not alone here. Her mother was also ill-equipped in the situation. She lacked resources on bullying, such as the signs that your child is being bullied, its negative lasting effects on a child, or best practices on how to respond and or support your child through those situations. And like Maya, she lacked the ability to quickly and effectively communicate with Maya's teacher, as well as the organization at large, to understand the situation and begin to work together to take the steps to resolve it. So advancements in technology continue to provide significant improvements in how we manage so much of our lives. And now the mobile devices that we rely on each day can provide the means to help our students at a time when they need it most. So in order for members in our organizations to be properly equipped to confront bullying, we must provide tools that boast certain features. We're going to talk a little bit about those now. So the first, as we talk about, has to do with reporting. So anonymous student reporting. So placing students at the forefront of our strategy will be critical to our success. Students are the ones that are in the locker rooms, on the buses, in the cafeteria, and on the social media websites where a lot of this behavior takes place. And these are locations where many of us lack access and the ability to monitor. So we must first provide a platform where students can elevate information to us and or ask for help. The second piece, though, is that students need to feel protected when they share this information. They are up against their peers. This is information they're sharing with us about their peers. And they desire to be accepted and respected by them. So the ability for them to share the information anonymously will be critical in order to get them to participate in this piece. So that's number one, anonymous student reporting. The second piece is comprehensive and ideally mobilized reports. So data truly becomes valuable to us when it's thorough and directive. In the context of bullying, we need specific details for the event. Who was involved? When did it start? What happened? Where did it begin? So creating an intuitive report that collects all pertinent information for an incident will help the response team provide an appropriate follow-up to it. Additionally, as we become an increasingly technologically driven world, our tools need to be located where our staff and students already are. So by embedding our tools within our everyday technology, our computers and mobile devices, we facilitate students' ability to help themselves and or help others. And there's two other benefits that come with this mobile technology, and that's it improves response time. So leaders receive information faster and therefore can respond faster. And additionally, it improves our data. So there's minimal time between an event unfolding and the time that it's recorded. So we don't lose information or receive incorrect information. So that's number two, comprehensive mobile reports. And the third piece is what we call a safety awareness network. And what I mean by that is this. So schools, as we know, are charged with educating and protecting students on a number of issues, bullying being just one. And with so many responsibilities and expectations, organizations need access to great resources and an easy way to share those resources with the people that they serve. Education on bullying, for example, must extend to reach the members within the organization, staff and students, but even much more powerful if they can reach out to the parents. Additionally, the content that we have available must be relevant to the specific user that we're reaching. So teacher and staff content will necessarily be different than what we talk about with students, and student content will vary based on their level, their age, their maturity. So organizations, with the tools that they employ to confront bullying, they need to employ something that allows for anonymous student reporting, comprehensive mobile reports, and building that safety awareness network so we can educate and open the lines of communication. Crisis Go offers a comprehensive solution that embodies all of these features. We offer a mobile application that members of your organization may place on their personal or school-issued device. And from here, members can anonymously elevate reports of bullying, as well as access educational materials from our partners like No Bully. We also provide a web-based portal for bully reporting, which students may access on campus computers or from your school's home webpage or the social media webpages. And the goal is to have resources available and multiple options for students to speak up. Hence, what we have a student application, which is called Safe to Speak Up. I apologize. Safe to Speak Up. This is what our online platform looks like. And with Crisis Go, organizations also receive access to a dashboard. And this displays all of the information that comes through the application. And from here, administrators can interact with the data, they can run reports to look for trends and activity, and they can assign tasks to members of the organization. So a bully report is received, they can assign that to a homeroom teacher, they can assign that to the school counselor if you have one, or to the SRO, depending on what the situation was. So returning to Maya's story, let's see where education materials and training from an organization like No Bully and where mobile safety technology, like that of Crisis Go, could have served Maya, the students that were doing the bullying, Maya's mother, as well as the organization at large. We'll talk about each of those. So to begin, Maya felt helpless. She did not understand why it was happening, why they were treating her this way. And she did not have a means to communicate her ongoing struggles. With No Bully content and training, she would have better understood her situation and been empowered to speak up. And with the Crisis Go platform, she would have had a means to anonymously ask for help from somebody who could help her. The kids bullying Maya did not understand the severity of their actions. That's what a lot of this is. They don't understand the consequences. So through No Bully, we could have activated their empathy and engaged them to become part of the solution. And again, the Crisis Go platform would have provided access to those resources, and those resources would have extended out to the parents even. Maya's mother was unaware of the common signs of bullying, as well as best practices on how to respond when you learn that your child is being bullied. Again, with the right content, with No Bully, she would have been aware of these signs and had expert advice on how to respond, how to support Maya through that situation. She also would have had an effective way to connect with Maya's school teacher and the organization at large. And the organization would have had a more informed, more connected student body with resources and communication lines extending those resources all the way out to the parents. So, unfortunately, young people can be cruel as they are not yet mature enough to understand and foresee the consequences of some of their actions. But through education and communication and discussion, we can create safer environments for our students. If you are at all interested in the content and training that No Bully offers, or in partnering with Crisis Go, or implementing our technology within your school, in your organization. Please follow the link and you can sign up. We are offering our services currently completely free of charge, and would love for you to join us as we join our cause, which is to make schools safer across the U.S. And together, we believe that we can liberate students from the negative effects of bullying. Thank you so much, and we're now going to open it up for a Q&A session for all of us. Maya and Nicholas, would you like to join me?
Well, one of the questions I got was, what do you think are the most important or effective resiliency skills that we can teach to our own children and those in our schools, from Melanie Prera-Tucker in Ontario, Canada? So it's a great question, because the point about bullying is it casts people under a spell, it disempowers people. So absolutely, resilience is the name of the game. But to get there, you need to be teaching a fairly wide-ranging set of social and emotional skills, from the ability to modulate your own emotions and manage your own emotions, especially the stress caused by bullying, to actually how you become assertive rather than passive or aggressive. So the best social-emotional curricula do the whole range of skills around the emotional regulation on the inside and then how you deal with people on the outside. There are a lot more questions here. I don't know, Alex, how you want to facilitate this.
Yeah.
Would you want me to keep answering?
Let's jump around. So, Nicholas, thank you. Let's have Maya respond to one for us. So Maya, tell me this. Could you answer this for the group? One of the questions was, how did your school address it or not address it when it finally came out?
Great question. When it did come out, after I told my mom, I told my principal, the principal of the school was supportive of me and tried to help fix it with the counselors and everything. The teachers were not supportive. When the teachers found out, they said, one teacher didn't even sick. I was faking a lot of it. You know, the teachers were not supportive at all. The principal tried to be supportive. In the end, it's very hard when the principal doesn't see what's going on. That's why it's so important to speak up and say something. So I was saying all these things were happening for 2.5 years, and she was never able to see any of it. That's why it's so important that right away you begin to stand up and speak up for yourself.
Wonderful. Nicholas, another one for you. How can you get students, teachers, and parents to sort of buy into this positive school culture that you're establishing? Ways to engage, I guess, population.
When we work with schools, we literally do visioning sessions with all the teachers and with all the parents, where we ask them to really tap into what they want for their school. And out of that comes the answers that we talked about earlier, like we're an oasis of peace. It's amazing how most people, if you ask them, say, we do care about inclusiveness. We do care about compassion. We don't like to see this going on. And that process in itself gets your parents and your teachers behind a new social vision.
I did see a question. People asked me why I decided to switch on to online school and stop going to high school, which is a very interesting question. It had nothing to do with any sort of bullying or anything like that. I decided to do that just this year because the Bully to Bold tour, I was missing a lot of school and I started to travel around a lot. And so it just became kind of impossible to go to full-time school and to do the tour. I'm also an actress and a singer, like we said at the very beginning of the webinar. And because of the acting, I travel a lot to Los Angeles and to New York City to do a lot of different projects and stuff like that. So I guess as an artist and a performer and as an anti-bullying advocate, it's been hard to go to full-time school. But it definitely had nothing to do with any sort of bullying at my high school.
Nicholas, another one for you, if I may. A question around resources for those who have experienced bullying and still need to resolve the damage, but might be beyond the school setting. Where would we direct them?
So I think there's a journey about how to win your power back. And I think that's the framing question for how do you win your power back in the world? How do you feel good and empowered in the world? And often the only way to really get there is to work with a skilled counselor or therapist and to really look at how you're playing out those patterns. Because if there's at any level, you're still feeling in any situation in your life, I'm being targeted, I'm being bullied, it's likely you're being triggered and there's a piece of work you need to do there.
This is good. So we have a question for both of you. Do the presenters feel that forbidding cell phones in schools would help alleviate some of the anxiety around cyberbullying and the ongoing trauma during the school day, at least?
You want to answer that, Maya?
I guess I haven't really thought about it that way. That's a really interesting question. I definitely think that most of the time in my personal experience when I was being cyberbullied, it was not while we were at school. It was when we were at home, after school, at night, that sort of stuff. So for me, I don't know how much taking away the phones at school maybe would help you focus on your schoolwork more, but I don't know about preventing, you know, the bullying. I don't know. I know that phones in general, like, there is no way to prevent that. We have the internet, we have texting, you know, we have all this great stuff now. And that's just reason to be even more aware about this kind of stuff, because there isn't a way to take that away, you know, nor should there be, because those things are very important in our lives. But I don't know.
Yeah, we're launching a global cyberbullying campaign with the United Nations and UNESCO and Microsoft. And the line we're taking, similar to Maya's, is that really phones and the internet are a reality of every kid's life now. You can't take it away from them. So the bigger question is, how do you teach digital civility? How do you make sure that the students know to use their phones in a kind, respectful way, wherever they are?
Well said, both of you. We would take the same stance that there's simply not a way to avoid technology today, and we just need to find a way for it to work for us, which is what I think we're working towards, at least on the technology side here at Crisis Go. I'd like to say thank you both to Maya and Nicholas for joining us today and participating in the EdWeb presentation. Thank you to everybody that was in attendance today, all the great questions, participating in the polls. It was super helpful.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.